Connections between solar religions and Phosphenism. All cultures, at a certain stage of their evolution, went through a phase that is called sun worship. Nevertheless, this term can lead to confusion. When I was at school, I used to imagine solar worshippers in a building, in the dark, and I thought that the prayers that they used to recite to the sun were similar to the prayers that were recited to the God of the Catholics. But the process is actually very different. For example, the Zoroastrians of Persia still pray every day while focusing on the sun. Certain tribes of North American Indians used to spend a whole day praying while focusing on the sun. That would be the occasion of a yearly festival. But by no means it was a disconnected worship in a dark place within a temple, but truly a prayer associated to focusing, to gazing, looking at the sun. To start our discussion, let us talk about the spontaneous use of the reflection of the sun on water by certain persons. You can try the following experiment as a preliminary. Stand or sit in front of a body of water with the sun facing you on a day where there is a slight wind creating ripples in the water, ripples rather than big waves. Focus on the reflection of the sun on water without moving your eyes. You can achieve this through relaxing your periocular muscles. It takes a bit of practice to achieve this result, as focusing, for example, on the tip of the branch of a tree is very easy, but focusing on moving water tends to make the eyes move, following the movement of water. Keeping your eyes still will not be achieved by tensing your muscles. It will be achieved through relaxation. As soon as your eyes are still, you will realize that the reflection of the sun on water seems to shine much more, of a much whiter color, than when your eyes were still moving normally on the surface of water. This is already a phosphenic phenomenon. So, as soon as your eyes are still, there is a multitude of phosphenes that will appear, following the reflection of the sun on the wavelets. After about a minute and a half, the water will seem to be made of wavelets of pink ink, and the following minute and a half, of wavelets of black ink. Where do these colors come from? They are the various phases of the phosphenes that are molded on the physical perception. This is an interesting introduction to the extraordinary possibilities of molding the phosphine on matter. The phosphine thus appears like an intermediary between thought and matter, with the capacity to mold itself in both directions. Sometimes, more rarely, but sometimes, geometrical shapes will appear. They are perfect shapes, like perfect triangles. This is very strange, as, obviously, the whole scene you are looking at is made of curves. In order for these precise shapes to appear, something special must have taken place within the brain. I would like to remind you that when the globo-occipital tip of the encephalon, that is called the cuneus, has been stimulated, a shapeless phosphene appears. In the zone immediately around this phosphene, phosphenes in the shape of geometrical shapes or broken lines appear. The appearance of geometrical shapes proves that there has been a diffusion of the energy of the phosphene beyond the zone of the shapeless phosphene. The multiple reflections of the sun their mobility, have provoked the diffusion of the energy of the phosphine in the second zone. So, the reflection of the sun on water is a very good natural source to practice phosphinism. Children use it instinctively. A few examples of the influence of phosphinism on the mind. Let us talk about the case of Minou Drouet, a French poet who was very, very famous. At the age of 15, she would attract large crowds like any movie star. All her biographers agree. When she was in her orphanage, as a young girl, she was considered as slightly retarded. Her foster mum took her to Pouliguen in French Brittany, in a house that was near the water. She wasn't going to school, but she was free to do whatever she wanted on the beach. So, she used to spend the whole day focusing on the reflection of the sun on water, while swaying her head on a rhythm of 2 seconds. Her mother told me all these details. She told a friend of mine from Switzerland, who interviewed her, that in the beginning, her ideas for poetry used to come to her mind when she focused on the reflection of the sun on water. This process thus developed her gift as a poet. Moreover, she had spells of clairvoyance. Her mother mentioned this in her biography. For example, one time, friends took her to a garden in which she had never been. She asked, "How come there is a dead person dressed in grey near this tree?" A few days later, the gardener, who thought he was in good health, went to lean against this tree after feeling dizzy, and he just died there. It has also been noticed that she had a gift of influence on animals, even on wild animals. The extent of her gift was such that Henri Bouglion, from the Bouglion Circus of France, asked her to work for him, as she was emitting a fluid that would calm wild animals. She also proved that she could control snails. She could make them go towards her, and she repeated the experiment in front of people who had heard about it but who didn't want to believe it. She mentioned that during these moments she perceives something she calls a milky fog between the animal and herself, and she feels vibration within this fog. This is exactly what I have called the diffuse glow and the rhythmophosphenic system. As she was a poet, she used more elegant words. In the port of Berck in France, I met a fisherman who was called Pontier. He was retired. It is thanks to my mother that I met him, and I could conduct all this research on him. When I was young, my mother introduced me to different persons who had a genuine gift of clairvoyance. This fisherman practiced around 40 mind reading and prophecies with me. They were all absolutely correct. He did not make a single mistake. He pretty much only spoke through clairvoyance. He did not mention many, many details, out of which only a few were true. Every single detail, every single item was true. I asked him how he managed to become a clairvoyant. And he explained to me that he used to recite a small prayer to Saint Côme and Saint Damien. He believed that these two saints, being primitive Christianity saints, were particularly powerful. Already, I thought that it was the rhythm of his mental repetition that acted, rather than the saints themselves. He also mentioned that, in the beginning, he could only perform clairvoyance by looking on the reflection of the sun on water. It is only later when I practiced phosphenic mixing myself, that I realized that certain gifts of clairvoyance can be developed. It is because the fisherman used to recite his prayer to both saints while focusing on the reflection of the sun on water, and started to practice this at a very young age and with much care, that something special took place in his brain and that he kept a gift of clairvoyance. Later, he did not need to continue practicing phosphenic mixing to remain a clairvoyant. Let us now talk about a third case. Madame Spekin. She came to find me with her husband. He told me that she was subject to kind of clairvoyance spells and that she wanted to perfect herself. I asked her how all this started. She told me that from the age of 6, she would scare her family because she would announce events that would realize themselves only a few days later. Between the age of 3 and 6, her lower limbs were very undeveloped, and so she was left on the beach near Alger, in Algeria, in Sidi Ferruche, where her family lived, with only a doll to play. Her parents and the doctors thought that the sun would strengthen her. Nevertheless, as she was almost paralyzed, she had taken the habit of looking at the reflection of the sun on water all day as a game. I had the proof that this lady was a genuine clairvoyant, as one time she said that she perceived next to me a white ball whirling with a being, a character, appearing inside. And she described exactly my father and all the more important details between him and I. Needless to say, I had never talked about my father to her. Consequently, there was a genuine gift of clairvoyance in this person. It is important to understand that in these three cases, Minou Drouet, the fisherman from Burke, and Madame Spekin, that these three persons never really understood what caused their clairvoyance. I do not believe that there is an occult science, that is to say, a hidden science that is only given to the person who are worthy, and through which one could access a perception of the other world. Nevertheless, there are persons who have extraordinary gifts of mind reading and clairvoyance in the future. They can even provide some very useful advice. But what I have observed is that these persons do not know the reason for their gift. This gave birth to the legend of a so-called occult science, when in reality the cause is the spontaneous practice of mixing a thought with the phosphine. The Children Shepherds. Let us now talk about Children Shepherds. When I first started with my experiments on phosphinism, I met a shepherd who, when he was drafted into the army, showed that he had a very superior intelligence. He is now a professor in the University of Mathematics. When I interviewed him, he told me that when he was a shepherd, he used to focus on the sun for entire days. Most children shepherds play with the phosphines. So, in countries where the sun is very bright, a science of the phosphines tends to be created by the locals. The holy history of the Roman Church was built on children shepherds: Lourdes, La Salette, Joan of Arc, Fatima, etc. It is only natural. The farmer is always bent looking at the ground, when the shepherd has to look at the horizon to watch over his animals. As they get up just before sunset, shepherds instinctively have developed the habit of reciting prayers while focusing on the sun. For the case of the children shepherds of Fatima, I have a formal proof through the book of priest Bartas. The children of Fatima used to focus on the sun as they had identified it to Jesus and the moon to Mary. In Lourdes, I have developed in my book Lourdes and Phosphinism the fact that Bernadette Soubirous often prayed in particular conditions of lighting. We will see that in detail. For Joan of Arc, it seems, according to a certain biography, that she had the habit of focusing on the sun. Nevertheless, this practice is not exclusive to children shepherds. I met a man who used to live in Megève, in the Alps mountain of France. His parents were teachers and were communists. Consequently, he had no religious education. Nevertheless, during all his life, he had visions very easily. He was a very balanced person who had a job in the administration until he retired. As he was talking to me, he understood that it is when he was keeping his parents' goats in the mountain that he took on the habit of playing with the phosphines created by the sun. As he had no religious education, he did not follow a mystical orientation in his interpretation. Nevertheless, working as a shepherd allows children to play with the phosphines, and he had acquired what can be called a particular development of visual imagination and of its spontaneous and creative manifestations. The sun and religions. The Zoroastrian religion. There is a religion which insisted particularly on the sun. It is the Zoroastrian religion, that is to say, the religion of antique Perse and ancient Iran. Today, there are still about 100,000 Zoroastrians in Iran. They still focus on a large fire or the sun while praying. Before the Iranian Revolution of 1979, Zoroastrian had very high places in society. Today, they still retain a major place in the economic power of the country. So, why was there such an importance given to solar worship in this area of the earth? I believe it is because Iran was the only region in the world where oil sprung out of the earth. There used to be oil springs until the industrial era. During certain festivals, the locals used to spread it on the sea and light it up. Certain of these regions are very cold, the Caucasian regions, for example. So, for hundreds of thousands of years before history, animals and men, and even pre-human, must have gathered around oil springs in these regions. The oil springs could be set alight by a forest fire consecutive to lighting. So, in these regions, it was much more easy to have access to fire. So, naturally and instinctively, without being analyzed and understood, a particular use of phosphinism was developed in this region of the earth. The spirituality of the pygmy sorcerers is very much alike the first religion of humankind. They focus on very large fires to produce visions that lead them to areas where there is more game to hunt. Often, an explorer sitting next to them, who is only interested in scientific questions, experiences the same vision as the sorcerer. We believe that this process is possible because the sorcerer knows a science that we don't know. But the sorcerer simply unconsciously uses the property of everything phosphenic, a great telepathic transmissibility. It is easy to understand that in these Iranian regions where fire was much more available than anywhere else, the locals were much more ahead in the study and the use of this force. Also, through the generations, a certain hereditary modification takes place. So, in populations who have been thinking while focusing on a fire for hundreds of thousands of years before history, something special happened in their brain related to the gifts that are provided by phosphenic mixing. This is why persons with particular gifts used to live in these regions. In the beginning, the phosphenes were used like the pygmy sorcerers do, to solve material questions, mainly questions of food. But, little by little, as intelligence was developed, mythologies were created. The religion of Mithra first, then the religion of Mazda and Zoroaster. If I started on this research, it is because at the age of 18, I met a man who had spent some time in a Zoroastrian temple. Through a simple laying of hands, he had provoked within me very beautiful visions, stronger even than the ones I obtained afterwards. This changed my life forever. This man was called Artem Galip. I also know a retired philosophy teacher from Perpignan, France, Mr. Bruce, who, at the same period it happened to me, had met a Zoroastrian woman, Kaz Joran. Through laying of hands, she produced inner states within this person that seemed to be even more beautiful than the ones I had known thanks to Galip. Also, Edgar Allan Poe, in one of his books, mentions this. He relates the tale of Zoroastrians from Persia who go to a castle where there is a queen and who trigger very interesting particular inner states to this lady. I also read a story written by a lady who used to work for the UN. She said that only once in her lifetime she had met persons who had supranormal gifts. It was in a Zoroastrian center. I believe this is due to the fact that for hundreds of thousands of years, the custom of praying while focusing on the flame continues. Zoroastrian temples are small with a square shape. In the middle of the building, there is a second square of walls in the center with a small window on each wall, and the flame is located within this second enclosure. The faithful come one after the other to pray while focusing on the fire. If this was conducted in a larger building and with a larger crowd, it would be very impractical, as one would need to create such a big fire that it would be very uncomfortable for the person standing next to it. Everything in the Zoroastrian temple has been combined to practice phosphenic mixing efficiently. The small windows diminish the quantity of heat, the quantity of infrared, and allows to have a maximum of light. In all dictionaries, the word mage means priest of Zoroaster. Thus, the original sense of the term magic is a science of the phosphine that was lost. Phosphenism and the origins of Christianity. We are now going to study the connections between Christianity and phosphenism. At the birth of Christ, there were shepherds and mages present. These are the two great categories of specialists of the phosphenes of ancient times. Who did Christ contact when he first started preaching? Four fishermen from the Lake of Tiberiad: Saint Peter, Saint John, Saint James, and Saint Andrew. This is mentioned in the beginning of the Gospel according to Saint Matthew. Many authors say that almost all the other apostles were also fishermen. You remember what we have just said about children who develop the habit of focusing on the reflection of sun on water. This practice tends to develop extraordinary clairvoyance gifts. Of course, fishermen are always focusing on the reflection of the sky or the sun on water. So, it seems that Christianity was born in a very phosphenic atmosphere. Christ says, I am the good shepherd. This means that he is a shepherd who has received from other shepherds the science of the phosphines. But the other shepherds want to keep it for themselves. This science is like a professional secret. So, developing supranormal mental powers was like possessing a certain power over the rest of the crowd. This is why shepherds wanted to keep this science for themselves and to share it only with the priests who used the flame of the temple. Christ is tried for trying to diffuse this science. In his book about Christ, Renan already wrote that if the Gospels are read impartially, they give the impression that Christ was condemned to death for diffusing secrets. We will see later, when we study the mysteries of Eleusis, that it was the same thing. Those who revealed the mysteries of Eleusis were condemned to death, and their family lost all their civic rights. It is very possible that Christ was sentenced to death because he was the good shepherd, that is to say, the shepherd who wants everybody to enjoy the science of the phosphines that the priests and the shepherds wanted to keep for themselves. If you study the history of the whole of Christianity, you find phosphinism everywhere underlying. For example, in the Mount Athos of Greece, Mount Athos was already considered as a holy place before Christianity, and it is quoted as such by Herodotus. It was Christianized later. Several persons, unrelated, who have been to Mount Athos, have told me that certain monks who live in isolation in the caves recite the Bibles while focusing on the sun, and then project the solar phosphine on their navel. Mount Athos is like a living fossil of prehistorical mystical methods. It is a hint that there was a science of the phosphine in the east part of the Mediterranean basin at the moment of the birth of Christ. When I was in high school, it was taught that Christians were tolerated in Rome until the Romans noticed that the Christians had become the masters of Roman society. It is only at this time that the crimes against Christians started. I started to wonder. It is curious. There was no war, there was no coup d'etat. How come the Christians became the masters of the Roman Empire? I only understood this when I comprehended the role of phosphinism and its action on the brain on one hand, its participation in the birth of Christianity on the other. And I understood that it is because these populations were moving from Asia Minor, were practicing phosphinic mixing more or less clearly, and had a greater memory, intelligence, spirit of initiative, as well as intuitive gifts. They did not need to fight to succeed. In the year 325 AD, to save Rome from this colonization by the populations who arrived from Asia Minor, the Emperor Constantine had a brilliant idea. In Rome, the Emperor was made a deity after his death. In 325 AD, Constantine gathered the Council of Nicaea. 6 months after this council, he sent in exile the bishops who refused to sign the agreement of the council and sent prostitutes to decide the other ones to sign. He obtained that the council would recognize that there was a difference of nature between Christ and the rest of human beings. Until 325, Christians, whether the faithful or the clergy, considered that Christ was a man with magical powers. You can find more information in books dealing with Arianism. Arianism is a doctrine that states that Christ had magical powers. In 325, the Emperor Constantine imposed by strength, the fusion of the Christian religion, science of the Phosphine, and the Roman religion, the divinization of the emperor. It is from this amalgam that the Roman Church was born, and this explains that it is the only church in the world that is organized like an army with a complete hierarchy. Remember that the term pontiff means keeper of the bridges. In French, pont is the bridge, in Latin pontus, thus the word pontiff. And Julius Caesar was already a pontiff. A parallel with the secret of the mysteries of Eleusis. Let us now talk about the connections between Phosphinism and another religion, the Greek religion. Other authors before me have already signaled the great likeness, the great connection between this religion and Christianity. But I would like to add that this kinship is based on the fact that the Greek religion was also based on Phosphinism. In this religion, Apollo is considered at the same time the god of the sun and the god of divination. This is a very well-known fact that can be found in any history book. The connection between the sun and divination has never been explained, but it is easy to understand when one practices exercises of prayer while focusing on the sun. So, if you practice praying while focusing on the sun, or simply thinking while focusing on the sun, as I have indicated, in a way that is safe for your eyes, you will develop intuitive gifts. Apollo is also often represented as a good shepherd who holds the lost animal on its shoulders. This is again a connection with the Christian religion. It is mentioned in history books that there was a period of Greek history when intelligence and culture was extremely developed. This was the period of the mysteries of Eleusis. As I mentioned before, those who would reveal these mysteries were sentenced to death and their heirs would lose their civic rights. Consequently, it is difficult to obtain much information about these mysteries. Hopefully, there are still texts remaining in the French National Library. There were two levels in these mysteries. The first consisted in the following: learning a magical formula to recite mentally while falling asleep to help separating even more the soul from the body during sleep. There is no need to try and find out what this magical formula was, as we understand that it is its rhythm that was important. In the following courses, we will find out how to create a perfect rhythmical sentence to repeat, a mantra. The second level of the mysteries of Eleusis were the major mysteries. The initiate was on his own and was brought through a dark tunnel with an eye patch over his eyes. In this tunnel, there was a torch. At times, the eye patch was removed from his head. The initiate would be able to look at the torch. Then, the eye patch would be placed back on the eyes of the initiate, and he would thus be able to observe the phosphines. There was also group practices, where everybody would sit in a semicircle and torches would be lit in the center of this circle. Whether during group or individual practice, the initiates were asked to think about an ear of wheat. This is exactly the process of phosphenic mixing, maintaining an image, an idea, during the presence of the phosphine. The initiate was told that spiritual light would be generated by darkness after looking at the light. So, it seems that phosphinic mixing was the central theme of the mysteries of Eleusis. But why keep it a secret? Because the aristocracy wanted to keep political power. So, all the men who attended the mysteries of Eleusis, like Pythagoras and all the great thinkers of the time, whether mathematicians, philosophers, playwrights, would acquire a certain mental superiority when they went through the mysteries. But the process did not last only during the mysteries. the extra intelligence and intellectual capacity remained throughout their lifetime. This allowed a certain expansion of intelligence, and it is certainly when the mysteries of Eleusis started to fade that the Greeks became like the others. They lost this intellectual superiority that is so admirable in ancient Greece. Another connection with Christianity. Not very far from Eleusis, in Delphi, there was the main temple of the Greek religion of ancient times. In this temple, there was a stone that was called Ophalos, and that was considered as the navel of religion. In Mount Athos, the Christians project the phosphine on their belly button. And very near, in Delphi, there was a certain veneration of the navel, considered as the center of religion. The connection between the two religions is simply phosphinic mixing, under different forms and manifestations. The powers of the Tibetan Lamas. Tibetan religion is mainly known through the books of Mrs. Alexandra David Neal. Lamaic initiation and mystics and magicians of Tibet. Mrs. David Neal is the first Parisian woman who went to Tibet. She stayed in Tibetan temples. She wrote down practically all the techniques used by the Tibetan lamas and initiates, like the book by Lama Samdop, Tibetan Yoga. These books, especially Mrs. David Neal's books, clearly indicate that certain Tibetans have particular mental powers. Tibetans used to practice phosphinism unknowingly. Until the Chinese invasion, a quarter of the population was monks. Many of them spent a great part of their day praying while focusing on lamps. So, at the time, there was a large number of persons practicing phosphinic mixing in Tibet. A certain number of these persons developed particular mental powers. The burning bush of Moses. Another very interesting phenomenon is going to help us explain another religion. A woman I met related that one night she experienced something she called the Night of the Holy Ghost. She perceived something that looked like flames flowing down from the sky, but she wasn't scared because she understood that it was a spiritual rather than material phenomenon. The flame seemed to burn on the walls without darkening them. And at that moment, she realized that she could see through the walls. This phenomenon is very similar to the burning bush of Moses. People who practice phosphinic mixing for a long time sometimes experience a kind of a snap. The accumulated force triggers an amazingly powerful inner phenomenon, the Egyptian religion of Heliopolis. Let us now go back to the burning bush of Moses, which was a central element to the Israelite religion. It is this phenomenon which gave the drive and allowed to receive the Ten Commandments, the tables of the law. It is mentioned in the Bible that Moses had traveled around the desert. Moses was thus in a semi-desertic scenery. Also, it is interesting to note that Moses was raised in Egypt at the time of Akhenaton. Akhenaton is the pharaoh who tried to impose to Egypt the solar religion. This solar religion was not created by Akhenaton. He had understood that the religion of the city of Heliopolis brought particular forces. In the city of Heliopolis, the solar religion dates back to prehistoric times. No one knows its origin. Akhenaton realized that this religion helped mankind to blossom. This religion was based on praying while focusing on the sun. Again, Egypt is a particularly sunny country and has the perfect conditions for spontaneous practice of Phosphinism. Phosphinism and the Inca religion. In the beginning, the Inca tribe wasn't stronger than all the other tribes. The tribes would worship different natural elements. One tribe would worship mountains, another one turtles, etc. The Inca leader gathered his tribe on the plateau and had the idea to give him what he called solo worship. But again, what it really was prayers associated to focusing on the sun. The result is that this tribe became more intelligent, more dynamic, showed more initiative, and maybe even more physical strength. So, it imposed itself to the neighboring tribes. It exported its worship and thus created the Inca Empire around this solar religion. Then, through a mechanism that is similar to what took place for Christianity, there was an Inca emperor who considered that worshipping the sun was too much of a material worship. So, he replaced this worship by the worship of an abstract god in temples. It is important to note that at the time, the Inca civilization had moved its capital to the coast, which was very cloudy. So the sun had to be replaced by discs made of gold in the temples. The practice of phosphinic mixing thus greatly diminished, and the Inca lost their spirit of initiative. Their bureaucracy became very slow and heavy, and created a very fragile empire. Nevertheless, there was an intermediary period. During this period, there was an assembly of priests who took the role of what is called today the parliament. This assembly told the emperor of the Incas what decisions to take. This assembly of priests had a mission to pray while focusing on the sun, obviously not directly all day, as they would have burned their eyes, but probably as I'm asking you to do. So, the Inca understood very well that the persons who practiced this training had superior intuitions. They were thus well suited to manage the Inca Empire. But it is related that one of these priests saw a commoner practicing the same thing in the street. He threw him in jail straight away. This is similar to the story of Jesus Christ. Those who understood that focusing on the sun helped develop a mental and intellectual superiority wanted to keep the process for themselves. Phosphinism and religious practices in Burkina Faso. Let us now talk about the use of phosphinic mixing in Africa. In Burkina Faso, I met Master Pachere, a lawyer in Ouagadougou, but at the same time the son of a local king. He was from Manega, a town located 50 kilometers away from the capital of Burkina Faso. The village of Manega is surrounded by a wall of dry earth with two gates. One of these two gates is always closed, except during burials. It faces west and is called the Gate of the Dead. Burials take place at sunset. After going across the gate, the funeral party stops and focuses on the sun while praying. It is a local custom that dates back from ancient times. Whenever there was problems in the village, whether due to disease or lack of food, the minister would stand in front of the Gate of the Dead, seeking an interaction with the souls of the deceased. But this time, he would face the rising sun. As the wall is about 6 feet high, it would not stop him from seeing the sun. He would focus on the reflection of the sun in the water of a dish placed in front of him, in order to develop the intuition to find out a way out of the problems. Also, in the Ivory Coast, when someone has been robbed, they go to find the local religious chief, a sorcerer, who knows that focusing on the reflection of the sun on the water of a calabash produces information. The sorcerer performs a mental effort, and the victim can see the thief in the water in the reflection of the sun. It is interesting because it shows that people have known and still know that phosphinism can help developing gifts of clairvoyance. We can see in this story the telepathic influence of the phosphine as the sorcerer performs a mental effort to transmit this power of seeing for a brief moment. But this also shows, as with any other force, its handling is dangerous and delicate, as the phosphine also transforms thoughts into visions. If the victim suspected someone, there is a great chance that the influence of the reflection of the sun on the water would trigger a vision of that person. This is, nevertheless, a genuine phenomenon of clairvoyance, but it shows that interpreting visions is a very delicate matter. The use of phosphinism by Nostradamus. The Queen Catherine of Medici asked Nostradamus to predict the future for her. But the Queen also asked Nostradamus to produce a vision that she would herself perceive. It is said that Nostradamus locked himself up in the castle of Catherine of Medici. Every night when he could, he would observe the reflection of the moon on a silver tray. After a month, he asked Catherine of Medici to focus on this reflection of the moon in the silver mirror. And Catherine of Medici saw this mirror covered by a grey cloud. This is what we call the diffuse glow, the final phase of the post-phosphine. Within this grey cloud, she saw four small characters appear. They were her four sons, and they were walking around the mirror. Each circle they completed corresponded to a year of their reign. I do not know if the divination was true or false, but, again, it seems that there is a process that consists in provoking a phosphine while focusing on a mirror or on the reflection on the sun on water to produce visions. The technique is always the same. But why was this knowledge lost? I believe it is because what is relevant in phosphinic mixing is hidden by useless elements. For instance, Nostradamus's silver tray or silver mirror was engraved with many astrological symbols. Much has been written about these symbols, though they have absolutely no role in the divination process. Phosphinic mixing has been blended with many other elements and thus stopped appearing essential. The practice of phosphinism and the feeling of obviousness. We have seen the connection between phosphinism and several great religions. This subject could be developed infinitely, but for now we are going to come back to the practice of focusing on the sun. When I talk about prayers associated to the sun, I should always say three prayers. That is to say, prayers invented by each and everyone. This is how personality is developed. There is a certain feeling of obviousness that is connected to phosphinism. When you will start practicing praying while focusing on the sun, or associating a thought to focusing on the sun, a certain idea will stem into your consciousness. After a while, you will realize that this idea is very relevant, very useful for phosphenic mixing. And you will start to wonder why you had never thought about this before. You should use this idea for phosphenic mixing.